I speak to you in the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer. Amen. Please be seated. This is the Sunday called the Transfiguration. It used to be celebrated in the summer, but now the church has shifted it to be the last Sunday of the Epiphany season, or the Sunday just before the beginning of Lent and Ash Wednesday. And it puts it back into a place that's more appropriate in historic time, for this is the Christian response to the Feast of Tabernacles. And when in the Jewish community, when Christians were gradually coming into the temple and they were starting to follow Jesus, Matthew's gospel was written basically and read in the temple to coincide with what was happening in the Jewish liturgical calendar. And the Transfiguration matched the Feast of Tabernacles. And so it was a sense of saying, as Moses was lifted up onto the mountain to receive the commandments, Jesus was greater than Moses. He was transfigured by God before his witnesses, and that Jesus is the greater Moses. That Jesus is the fulfillment, and that Jesus is coming to represent God on earth and to teach us how to follow and to be good followers of Yahweh, of Elohim, of God. And so the Transfiguration is an important reminder to all of us that we are called to be lifted up to follow Jesus. That we are lifted up to be transfigured from just the ordinary life as we are following Jesus. Just as he was made, in a sense, transfigured and divine, so should we as we follow Jesus. For we follow the greater Moses. Now that is a strong statement, one that we often forget to heed or to understand, but that we are called to something bigger than what we think we are. Listen to the words of the Collect again. Almighty God, on the holy mount you revealed to chosen witnesses your well-beloved Son, wonderfully transfigured. Mercifully deliver us from the darkness of this world and change us into his likeness, from glory to glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Change us into his likeness. Transfigure us from what it's like to be just every day to following and to be more Christ-like. Change us. Empower us. Give us a new vision to be different than who we were before we received Jesus into ourselves, and make us different than the attitudes that we often just see around us who are not inspired by Jesus Christ. What a week we have had with those kind of demands in our hearts and minds. We are called this week to absorb the fact that scientists have discovered a sun with seven planets, three of them probably being able to give birth to life, and maybe already have life. And at the same time, from another part of the universe, there's been again a receipt of intelligible electromagnetic radio waves that could not be produced by just random static. A sign of intelligence from somewhere else in the universe. That is a huge two things to absorb at the same time. and can be, if we take a very narrow view of Scripture, quite upsetting. Quite upsetting, because some people want to believe we are the only ones. That God made only us and only this planet with life. But it's quite possible that we are not the only ones, and that in our minds we cannot limit God. That God is greater than our understanding. That God is limitless and all-powerful. And so we are being challenged today on this Sunday to be transfigured in our attitude from an attitude that says we are the only ones. We are greater than that. We are called to have a new vision. That we are not the only ones that God loves. Now, why is that important? Look around us. Look what we're hearing. That only Christian immigrants matter in North America? No. We're not the only ones that God loves. There's something called the Religious News Service. Some of you may look at it online. I subscribe to it. It often has clippings from various parts of the faith community, Christian and non-Christian alike. And there was one piece in there where they were praising the fact of Franklin Graham coming to Vancouver this week with his message and couldn't understand why there was a reaction to it. And you all got the letter that the bishop sent to us that I passed on, and couldn't understand why there was this reaction from some Christians towards Franklin Graham, and couldn't understand why there was anything wrong with identifying and centering out Muslim people for ridicule in the United States. And I wrote back a note to this page saying, 90 years ago, when they started in Germany identifying who were Jews and who were not, it was the beginning roots of the Holocaust. And we as Christians at that time did not stand up and say anything. And we must be aware now and stand and say, we are not the only ones that God loves. That God loves all of God's creation. The reaction I've had from that little simple posting has been a lot of hate mail. I'm strong. I don't really care about that so much. But I'm surprised that Christians would be reacting so vehemently to this simple statement that we're not the only ones. And that we have to be vigilant to not allow Holocaustic type thinking to grow in our midst. That it happened 90 years ago in Germany. It can happen today in North America. We have to be vigilant and speak out as Christians against it. We have to be transfigured. We have to rise above what feels safe and comfy and take risks to stand up, to speak the truth, to whatever the power might be. We must do that in little ways and big ways. Now, I'm not sharing this because I think I'm a hero. I'm sharing this because the gospel has to inspire and shape what we do and how we say it and act. That we are called as Christians to be inspired by the gospel and to be supported by the rest of the scripture. As it said in Peter's epistle today, that Peter wrote this, by the way. Peter himself didn't write it. Peter was long dead. This was written, we can tell by the language and the internal context, that this was written about the year 90, long after Peter would have lived his life and joined God through death. But it says we must always make sure that when we read the scripture, we do it in community, not just a single person reading it on our own. Again, it's a call to be transfigured. We don't just interpret something on our own, but we are part of community. And that's why that letter that was sent out this week, the bishop being one of many signatories, including our dean of the diocese from the cathedral, Peter Elliott, we're doing it together. But we are called to get beyond our comfortable zone and speak out. That's transfiguration. That's what this is about. It's not just about looking back and saying, isn't it wonderful that Jesus was transfigured up in the mountain and he shone glory. He was very bright and shiny and so on. And it's more than that. That's turning that transfiguration into almost like a glorified fairy tale. It's not. It's a sign that we are called to something greater. So as we begin Lent, I call us all to reflect and say, how can I be transfigured in my living the gospel as a member of the body of Jesus? How do I do that? Not just in big ways, but little ways. Maybe in my relationship with myself, maybe in my relationship with my immediate family or my neighbors, or bigger than that. But we are called as the people of Christ as we journey now towards the cross and then into Easter in the next 40 days to be transfigured, be changed, be enlightened in our attitude. And I pray today as we receive the sacrament that we take seriously that we are alive in Jesus Christ, that Jesus is alive in us, and that we are called to be changed, that we are called to live a changed life as members of the body of Christ. May God bless us all. Amen.